you play for?
I play for the United States of America.
It's been 35 long years. Clinton, I've been waiting 35 years. It's finally coming home, baby. It's coming home.
Social experiments. USA. 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 USA.
Okay, okay. You know, what does that even prove, okay? You chant anything, people will join in. Canada! 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 Okay, they won't chant anything.
You blitz all night! And if they cross the line of scrimmage, I'm gonna take every last one of you out. You make sure they remember forever the night they played the Titans.
Clear eyes, full hearts.
Can't lose.
Let's hear it, gentlemen. Clear eyes, full hearts.
Can't lose.
Let's go play some football. Let's go.
What is Chandler Bing's job?
Processing. Well, it carries a briefcase.
10 seconds. You need this or you lose the game.
It's it has something to do with transponding. Oh, he's a transponster. That's not even a word.
Yeah, you beat like you stole something, Mr. Bosley.
You are looking live at Clemson Memorial Stadium in Clemson, South Carolina, where the game of the weekend is about to unfold.
Calma, regresa al backfield. Deshaun Watson, pase, touchdown, touchdown, Clemson, Renzo, con un segundo.
Nice work, everyone. Sharp broadcast. Really good. Everyone on the floor as well. Really a lot of hustle. I liked it.
How great is this? This could be the final play of the college season, perhaps, if Clemson gets a touchdown to win it. If Bama can hold them out, perhaps a field goal attempt for overtime. Watson, touchdown! Hunter Renfro, little man, makes another enormous play. 1 second remaining.
Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
And welcome in. Glad to have you with us. We are live on location today at the indoor practice facility in Clemson. If Tuesdays during the regular season are Tiger Tuesdays, I've thought about this for 8 seconds, and I can't come up with anything with Wednesday. Like, nothing alliterative with Wednesday. It is Wednesday, December 6, 2017. William Kwok, Miss Kelly Graham, glad to have you with us. What works with Wednesday?
We are here Wednesday.
We here Wednesday?
We here. We too deep Wednesday.
It could be. Could be. I don't mind that. We too deep Wednesday. We'll continue to focus.
If you have any thoughts, 986-1566. We'd love to hear them.
Yes, we would. I encourage feedback on this because you know me. I'm very particular about my creativity. Like, I want to be known for being creative, and so the fact that I'm not right now, I'm a little self conscious about it. So just give me a good idea, Ray.
You know the video Clemson football posted recently, the Dream Big video.
Yeah.
The short film nominated for an Oscar in 2018. And so many good parts of that video. Obviously, when Dabo puts on the orange blazer and chokes up during his presser and all that. But an underrated Dabo moment over the years that is in that video. It's short but sweet. Correct me if I'm wrong, Kwok, but I believe it was post Chick-fil-A Bowl 2012. And they're receiving the trophy. It was after 4th and 16, all that stuff. And Dabo's talking, and he's getting pumped up, and he goes, "We too deep," and just drops the mic. Underrated Dabo moment of the past 5-6 years. I'm glad it's in the video. And if you haven't watched that video, the Dabo Dream Big video, just go to Clemson Football on Twitter and grab some tissues and just be ready.
Did you really cry? I mean, I might have shed a tear a little bit because I was there. Like, I was a student there.
I
remember that season.
The last thing I cried at, I don't even know where we're going. Was not that video, actually. I randomly stumbled upon, you know how the NFL was doing My Cause, My Cleats this past weekend?
Yes.
I stumbled upon Deshaun's My Cause, My Cleats, Deshaun Watson's, where he had the two little kids that he helped get them a new house after the floods. Those two little kids designed his cleats. Oh, my gosh. I was watching that, and I was just got a little misty. It's really good. I would encourage you to go watch that as well, because Deshaun's just doing amazing things still. So, yeah. Anyway, Moving on.
Deshaun is first, and as first team sports tells us, he ain't first, you're last. So
isn't he still first. Like sixth in the NFL in touchdown passes?
Yeah, I think so. Hadn't played in a month. No big deal.
Give him rookie of the year. Just give it to him. We know he deserves it.
It's brought to you by our first day of the program, brought to you by First Team Sports. Lots to talk about today. I'm a little bit salty because I had a great plan for the show, and you know, we discussed it a little bit yesterday, and boy, you come in here and you think you know what you're going to do. We got interviews coming, as players come in. And then South Carolina makes staff changes. And then it's shocking to me a couple things. First of all, how ridiculous it feels to Gamecock fans that one of 12 teams that are going to be on the schedule next year and the year after that we would talk about it on this station. I'm not even sure where the logical disconnect is there that we just shouldn't talk about it. But this like why they're so perplexed. The second thing is that I've gotten a lot of like more pushback than I would have thought from South Carolina fans about my hesitancy to just believe that Will Muschamp's going to go hire some air raid guy and they're going to score 50 next year with this staff change at South Carolina. Kayla, do you have any thoughts on Will Muschamp and his new offensive coordinator search with Kurt Roper out?
I mean, I thought that Kurt Roper's firing was kind of inevitable.
Okay.
After the offensive season they had, in which they won 8 games pretty much without enabling themselves to win on offense.
Without their
sense.
Best player. Yeah.
Well, yes, of course, without their best player, that is true. So I think it was kind of inevitable. I think it would bode well for Will Muschamp and for South Carolina if Will Muschamp would hire an offensive coordinator unlike the hires he's made before. The problem is, like you said on Twitter, Kwok, Will Muschamp has voluntarily hired Kurt Roper at 2 different schools. So it's not like we really trust him to go out there and hire the brightest offensive minds as an offensive coordinator. Now, I think he understands that change needs to be made in terms of philosophy. So we'll see
if he
does that. Do you think so? Or do you think he's just going to keep running this slow huddle offense that they've been running, you know, for years? And here's the issue, too. Here's my question, Kwok. I don't know. Let's say you change your scheme, you change your philosophy, whatever. Can you be elite with Jake Bentley? I mean, that's my question. I don't really know if you can. I don't care what kind of offense you put him in.
A couple things on this. First of all, I believe that the hesitancy to embrace Will Muschamp as a hirer of offensive minds is rooted in the fact that after 4 years of doing it one way at Florida, well, you would agree, they did it the one way at Florida. They had Charlie Weiss in there. Like, they had some people in there. Mm-hmm. And they were so bad. They were unbelievably terrible, right? We would say they were just so bad offensively under Charlie Weiss.
Yeah, they're
early Muschamp's tenure there. Then they went out and got, I don't even know who they got next. And then they got Kurt Roper. So 3 offensive coordinators in 4 years for Will Muschamp. Roper actually did the best job of all of them, but then Muschamp's staff gets fired after they have a losing season, right? And then all of a sudden, he comes to South Carolina after a year off to reflect. You know how these coaches, when they reflect, like Les Miles, I really hope that Les Miles would get the job at Tennessee so that he would be outed for the fool that he is by telling people, oh, I'm willing to change. I'm willing to do something different. No, you're not. If you had, then you would have done it differently at your previous stop before you got fired. He's not willing to do it differently. Will Muschamp had 2 chances at Florida to hire a different mindset in the offense. It looked the same all 3 times with all 3 different systems. And so he comes to South Carolina and he sells everybody on this idea that he's changed and he's different. And you know how I know he's different? He hired the same offensive coordinator that he had when he got fired at Florida. So after 2 years when it doesn't work, the South Carolina fans, and I get it in your, like, in your heart that you wanna embrace this hire, but in your head you have to be skeptical. Simply because of the fact that Will Muschamp told us he was different and hired the same guy. If he was really different, the time would have been 2 years ago to do something outside the box offensively. The time would have been 2 years ago to change who you are as a hirer and as an offensive thinker. The time would have been 2 years ago to prove to us that you can go outside of your normal realm of thinking to go get somebody. The time would have been 2 years ago to bring in your Chad Morris. Instead, now people think he's going to bring in his Chad Morris this time after he's now hired four different offensive coaches in 6 years. This will be the fifth time that he's hired an offensive coach, and he's either fired or been fired while employing the last four. So I ask you, Kelly, given that track record, is it not reasonable to suggest that Will Muschamp might be incapable of doing a radical overhaul of South Carolina's offense, which they need in order to compete with, we'll say, Clemson, but really, you're talking Georgia, you're talking New Florida, you're talking, maybe Tennessee if they get somebody. It looks like they're going Jeremy Pruitt, which I'm about 50-50 on that one. I mean, you got to compete with those teams before you can even compete with Clemson. And they're not going to do it if they keep doing offense the same way.
No. I mean, yes, you're right. The answer is no. I don't trust Will Muschamp to hire offensive coaches. That's the bottom line. And I also, I don't know how to explain this, Kwok, or maybe you can explain this to me. Why is there this kind of blind allegiance to Jake Bentley? Because after the Clemson-Carolina game, I watched some of Will Muschamp's press conference, and a reporter asked him, did you ever consider replacing Jake? And he said, no, of course not. He's our quarterback. Why is there a blind allegiance to Jake Bentley? What has he done that says there is no better option for us at quarterback than this guy? Or is it just that there literally is no better option on the roster, or they can't bring in someone that's a better option?
You know what I think is going to happen?
Or is it because his dad's on the coaching staff?
Here's my hunch. I have no insight on this. I have no information on this. This is what I think they're going to do. 654-ROAR if you want to talk about it. 654-7627. Because it does have ramifications for Clemson, and it does have ramifications for college football. And in fact, a lot of our show today, I think, will be talking about coaching changes elsewhere around the country in places that directly or indirectly have an impact on Clemson's program. I think Bobby Bentley's a candidate here. I think Jake's dad, Bobby, with his background at Burns and the type of offense that he runs, with the fact that he was already on staff as a running backs coach, I think this is a natural progression of Bobby Bentley. If that's the case, then that would be about the best way that would make sense for Will Muschamp to do what the South Carolina fans want him to do, which is to get an innovative, outside-the-box thinker as an offensive coach. Now, my pushback to that would be, I thought that's what Kurt Roper was. Remember when Roper was at Duke, which, by the way, South Carolina fans, when Muschamp hired him, were saying he never had a chance at Florida. We heard a lot of stuff. He never had a chance at Florida to really develop his identity as an offense. They got fired before he got started. And look what he did at Duke. He can do the same thing in South Carolina. And Muschamp's different. This offense is going to look different. We heard the same stuff from South Carolina fans when he was hired at South Carolina, based on the fact that at Duke, remember, they a few years ago they had the two quarterback system that worked like a charm. Remember that with Renfrey and what's the other guy, Sean Renfrey and the other guy. They had a two quarterback system work like a charm. Their offense was the best that Duke had ever had in the history of the school, or whatever. Like that, it was a great offense, not the best ever because Spurrier was there, but it was the best in a long, long time. And Roper got a lot of credit for that. Now all of a sudden Roper gets fired from South Carolina, and all I hear from South Carolina fans on Twitter is, "Well, that was Cutcliffe's offense." Well, that's not what you were saying when he was hired by your guy. So you can't just have revisionist history of what happened at Duke when your guy doesn't work out at your place. I'm just saying that Kurt Roper, in a culture and a staff that prioritizes offense and prioritizes offensive mind and creativity, looked pretty good. And when he went to a place where defense is the thing and where they went slow as molasses and they wanted to be methodical about it and, frankly, had injuries to some of their key players, he all of a sudden doesn't look quite as good.
So are you saying that Muschamp are you saying that Muschamp held him back in some ways?
I think in these situations, coaches that restrict offense always restrict offense. And many times those guys have a defensive background, and so they want to play to their strengths as they know them, which is, if we can just kind of manage and punt the ball and get field position and then take advantage of short fields and all that stuff, if we just get stops on defense, then that helps our offense rather than letting the offense set the tone. What Dabo Swinney did in 2011, I don't think necessarily defense was setting the tone before in the program, but it was on the field. That 2010 defense was really, really good with a bunch of pros on it, and it couldn't win more than six games because the offense was so hamstrung. It just wasn't working. So what he said is, we're going to at times let the offense take the lead here. We're going to let the offense run the show. We're going to have great defense, which in 2011 they didn't until they hired Brent Venables in 2012. offense is going to take the lead. We're going to chuck it. We're going to have an identity. We're going to run the ball with power in the spread, what he called the power spread and still calls the power spread now 7 years later. They had a transformation, not just in the identity of the offense, but in who controlled the way that the game flowed. At South Carolina, Will Muschamp as a defensive coordinator, I don't see a single iota of evidence that he's going to let the offense control where the game goes.
I'm going to ask you this, and we can continue this in the next segment because this is interesting to me. My question is, at Clemson, what worked is that you transformed the offense first. You made offense the priority first. The defense followed, right? Would you agree
with
that?
Yes, yes.
Is that the only way to create kind of this balance, or I would say to create a dynamic offense? Do you have to go offense first? Do you have to kind of give up some defensive leverage and say, okay, if we go with this air raid spread attack and we score quickly, because I think that was the issue a lot with the 2011 team, is that Clemson scored so quickly that the defense was out there too much and for elongated periods of time. So do you have to kind of give up some defense first to create a dynamic offense, and then as you recruit, as you bring in a guy like Brent Venables, it balances out and you have the best of both worlds?
That's an interesting conversation, and we'll talk about it some. In fact, we've got the lines. Yeah, you got a couple shots to get in, but we've already got some people populating the phone line. 654 roars the number. We're supposed to have players interviewed here, and we'll try to grab a couple of those through the course of the day at the indoor practice facility in Clemson. Want to tell you, this hour of the program is brought to you by our friends at Omaha Steaks. You just gave me some great news about Omaha Steaks, Kelly.
Let me share this with you, Quack, because I get a text from my wonderful grandmother this morning, and she says, all right, she's trying to get a gift for my cousin and his girlfriend. Okay?
Are they listening? Did you just ruin Christmas for them?
No, they're not. They're not.
Okay.
I very much doubt it.
So, well, that's their loss, but go ahead.
The main loyal listener in the family is Grandma. She's always listening. So she said, found an ad and a promo code in today's Austin newspaper. All right. 4 filet mignon and 8 steak burgers for $49.99 from a competing company with Omaha Steaks.
Okay.
She said, should I go ahead here or do you have a better deal? And I said, Grandma, I have a better deal.
Can we tell you the better deal?
Tell me the better deal.
For $49.99, 75% off the family gift pack, we can get you 2 filet mignons, 2 top sirloins, 2 boneless pork chops, 4 boneless chicken breasts, 4 kielbasa sausages, 4 burgers, 4 potatoes au gratin, 4 caramel apple tartlets, and an Omaha Steak seasoning packet. Plus, they're going to throw in 4 additional kielbasa sausages free. Isn't that a lot better than your grandma's deal?
It's unbelievably better. I sent her that, and I said, do you want me to email you the link? All she responded was, oh, yes.
Yes, absolutely.
And I said, send it to your email. She said, fabulous deal. I think they will enjoy.
Go to omahasteaks.com. Enter my code William in the search bar. Get that deal. 75% saving. It's a gift guarantee to be a hit this Christmas. Short break. We'll go back to the phones and we return in a moment. Out of Bounds Live from Clemson. We'll return in just a moment.
Are you ready to save on John Deere? Then you need to get to AgPro now. You'll find the best prices on the quality equipment you've been wanting right now at our inventory clearance event. We're making room for 2018 inventory, and we're equipping you with low, low prices on select John Deere equipment. That's right, the tried and true equipment you know and trust at unbelievable year-end inventory prices. Get to your local AgPro because our closeout prices are only available while supplies last. And visit us at agproco.com.
Used vehicles only, all plus tax, tag title, 224 closing fees, trade value with purchase on select models once we make a deal. It's 12/31/17.
It's Ralph Hayes Toyota's pre-owned sales event. We've had a record year, and ownership has instructed every used car, truck, and SUV on the lot to be sold. To avoid year-end taxes and write-downs, Ralph Hayes Toyota has over 100 cars, trucks, and SUVs in stock, starting as low as $69.95. Many with remaining factory warranties and certified. At Ralph Hayes Toyota, your $1,000 trade is now worth $2,000. Your $2,000 trade, now worth $3,000. And your $4,000 trade, $5,000. With over 100 vehicles to choose from, starting as low as $69.95. If you're looking for a pre-owned car, now's the time. And Ralph Hayes Toyota is the place. Visit us online at RalphHayesToyota.com or give us a call at 864-226-1571.
Hayes Toyota.
Are you planning a new plant or manufacturing addition? How about a new commercial center? Or does your existing building roof leak more than it keeps out? Give us a call at Metal Building Supply, 295-0506, or come by 1500 Elrod Road in Piedmont and talk to George or Kevin about our solutions and the contractors we work with.
We have the materials, systems, and contractors to make sure your business plans are successful. And remember, go Tigers, and stay tuned to The Roar for more information on your construction needs.
Zero Res is the answer to cleaning at its finest with no harsh chemicals. No residue, safe from toxins, and your carpet, upholstery, tile, and grout will stay cleaner longer. Spell it forwards or backwards, it's the right way to clean. ZeroResGreenville.com. Whether you're looking for a rewarding career in healthcare, business, public service, manufacturing, or HVAC, Tri-County Technical College can put you on the pathway to success quickly. With campuses in Pendleton, Anderson, Easley, and Oconee, Tri-County Tech has the school and the location to make learning easier. Check out their website, tctc.edu, and get the answers for enrollment, academics, and so much more. Affordable education with limitless possibilities at Tri-County Technical College.
Big O Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram is your local family-owned automotive dealer in the upstate. Life, liberty, and happiness is what we're all about. Big O has a huge inventory of new and used vehicles at the lowest price. Cars, SUVs, minivans, Jeeps, and trucks, new and pre-owned. You name it, we've got it. Trust us to deliver your next vehicle today. Visit us online at BigOdodge.com or check us out in Greenville under that big American flag on the Motor Mile.
Yes.
105.5 The Roar. Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
Hey, where you laying? Don't make a sound. I know the water.
All right, back here in Clemson in the indoor practice facility. I was weirdly one of the first ones in the facility today. I haven't been one of the first ones in a facility in a long time, Kelly. It was a little bit odd. Like,
maybe
people are coming
ever.
In after me, and I'm thinking, huh, I was here before you. Typically, I'm one of the last ones at the press conference. I like to pack my morning schedule with personal time and reflection and also with some nonsense. And so there's an equal amount of that, I think. This morning was similar, but...
You kind of live on the edge.
I do, just a little bit.
It's like you always try to push the envelope of, hey, I could be late, but I'm not going to be. But I'm really close. Remember that time you were late to this... And Ben scolded you by not giving you a headset.
I know. I remember.
And you looked, it was very awkward.
I remember.
You looked really sad. It was an awkward situation for me.
I was sad. And that was, that day I was very, somebody else ruined my day that day. We'll say that. Hey, impress your friends and family with a clean home. Zero Res brings a whole new meaning to clean carpets. You can use empowered water. They do. So there's no residue or odors or toxic chemicals left behind. Your carpets will be just like new. No question about it. Spell it backwards or forwards. It's the right way to clean. Call 558-7300. No one can clean like Zero Res. Former Clemson assistant gets hired into the SEC. We'll talk about that. Rumors with Clemson's assistants, I think, are going to be much ado about nothing in the grand scheme of things. And, of course, South Carolina now trying to hire an offensive coordinator. We'll discuss that as well. I've got thoughts still on Clemson-Miami, some things that happened, some thoughts on the notes that we got in the post game that I think are interesting, some things Clemson did that just when you state them out with a period, they seem like just things that happened, but they're really remarkable things that Clemson did. We'll go to the phones, though, first. Let's go to the Northern Communication phone lines. You can join us throughout the show today, 654 Roar is the phone number, 654-7627. Ken in Powdersville is up with us first, joining us on Out of Bounds here live from location in Clemson. What's up, Ken?
Hey, well, on this Muschamp, Frank, I got a little bit different view.
Okay.
He was coached down in Florida, and he got fired. And now he's at South Carolina, and he knows if he doesn't do good here that he probably won't get hired as a head football coach again. And he's, for the last 2 years, he's seen Clemson just destroy his team, and he knows the importance of it at the University of South Carolina. And I believe that he's done went into panic mode and figured out that I'm coming to Clemson next year. I'm probably going to get beat just as bad or maybe even worse. And he said, we got to change coaches because if we don't, the very next year after that, if we don't beat them, I'm going to be fired again.
You know, that's an interesting point, Ken, and I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much.
Yeah. I
see that, and the reason I see it is this. I'm not sure that the gravity of, like, oh, shoot, we're behind offensively. I don't sure that that can possibly hit you if you play who they played in the SEC, except for maybe when you play, like, Florida State.
Honestly, South Carolina is not behind offensively in their division.
Right.
Because their division is so terrible, especially offensively, that week to week when you're playing Kentucky and Tennessee and Florida and whoever else, you feel fine. But then when you step outside your division and you play at Clemson, obviously there's an issue. Also, they get to play Michigan in the bowl game. They're not going to feel like their offense is behind against Michigan because Michigan's offense is from the Stone Age.
Right.
So that's really not going to be a problem. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, look, he can win eight games. They won eight games this year without an efficient offense or without an explosive offense.
The S&P ranked their offense 88th. 88th in the country, okay? Here's where the rest of their division ranked. I'm just going to go down the schedule. Missouri ranked 10th. Missouri had a better offense
than
South
Carolina.
Right, Missouri's
the best offense in the SEC East, right?
And that's why I say they did, you know, that's probably the best win South Carolina had all year.
But they did just lose their OC.
That's true. Josh Heupel, who got fired as an OC at Oklahoma, but yeah, was a better candidate than Tony Elliott at UCF. I don't know.
Hey, we're fine with it.
Yeah, right. Kentucky's 68, so they're kind of in the family there with South Carolina, right, you would say. Maybe a little bit better, but in the family.
Right.
And South Carolina returns some guys, so you think they're going to get better by default next year.
Where's La Tech?
I'm not even going to do that. I want to stick with the division. Tennessee is going to be overhauled in some way. They ranked 118, so they were better than Tennessee and barely beat Tennessee 15-9 with a goal line stand. Scored 15 whole points against Tennessee. Congratulations. Then Vanderbilt. I said we're going to skip Louisiana Tech, and we got to Vanderbilt, and I wish we'd go back. Vanderbilt actually had a better offense, according to S&P, than South Carolina did this year, 78th. Then you get to Georgia. Georgia's offense was really good. We know they were sort of one-dimensional most of the year, 18th in the S&P. That makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. Top 20, not top 10 or 5. And in Florida, there's no way Florida was better. There's no way, and they weren't, 109th.
Oh, gosh.
So South Carolina was sort of middle of the pack offensively in their own division. And like you said, they're going to go against a Michigan team in the bowl game with a new coordinator, this Brian McClendon, one of their assistants that's highly respected on the staff that's going to be calling plays. They're going up against a team that's ranked 74th in the S&P. So Stone Age Michigan still ranks a little bit higher than South Carolina does. In defense of Will Muschamp in making this move, I will say that the way that Kurt Roper approached the Clemson game, I thought, was totally unacceptable. They thought that they could just line up and beat Clemson without some razzle-dazzle, without some gimmicks, without something tricky or fancy. And if you think that, then you're delusional. You didn't know what you were watching on film. You had no idea what you were looking at. And that, to me, that was an indictment of him. More than anything else that he did in his time at South Carolina, I think that's the indictment of him, that he felt like they didn't run one single trick play. They didn't do anything super inventive. I mean, they had probably the worst game plan that anybody had all year against Clemson. That would be the indictment of him, more so than his entire body of work, which I thought was he had his hands tied a little bit because you've still got youth at quarterback. You've got an improving offensive line, but still not great. First year of a new offensive line coach. You've got a receiving core that was banged up with no Shai Smith in the Clemson game, and then Debo Samuel, your best playmaker the first three games, out for the season. And you've got basically a guy who, again, in Kurt Roper, came with a background where they, like David Cutcliffe, was probably spurring him on and egging him on. I felt, considering all that, that he didn't do the worst job ever last year.
It's tough, too, when you lose Debo Samuel. That's tough for any offensive coordinator. So the offensive coordinator, whoever it is for South Carolina next year, I think will already kind of have a leg up because he's going to have Debo Samuel. And that really does change things because what he provided for them in those first three games, especially not even on offense, just those 7-point cushions with early kick returns and that kind of thing, it seems that's going to be an inherent advantage. But again, I mean, and I stand by this point, Kwok. I don't understand why Jake Bentley has a complete lock on that quarterback job in Columbia. I don't understand.
Well, he was the best quarterback 2 years ago, and I think he's the best quarterback now. Would you say that scarcity is his friend right now?
Yes, I think, and that is the reason. I mean, that obviously is the reason, but bring in somebody. I mean, bring in somebody to challenge him. We've seen it in Clemson. The quarterback room is so deep, it's a problem. I mean, there's always this issue, who's going to leave? Who's going to transfer? Whatever. I mean, that's how you enable guys to become better. You think Kelly Bryant doesn't improve? Kelly Bryant improves in the offseason because Zarek Cooper and Hunter Johnson are breathing down his neck. That's why he improves.
You know, that's a great point. And I want to be careful how I phrase this because, well, I'll just say it. South Carolina is not going to match Clemson in personnel. You might get closer. You might close a gap. They're not. Mm-hmm. That's just the bottom line. Like, I could sugarcoat it. I've kind of tried to sugarcoat it a little bit. It's not going to work if you think you're going to just match Clemson player for player. Clemson's recruiting and developing at too high a level right now. It's just not. It's not going to work. If you look at the recruiting right, okay, let's look at their commit list. I'm trying to find a commit list right now. There we go. Do they have any quarterbacks in the works? Well,
that's
they
a
don't
great
have
question.
Anybody better than Trevor Lawrence. They don't. We know that.
As you call him, LeBron.
Right. They don't have anybody better than Hunter Johnson. They don't have anybody better than Kelly Bryant right now on their roster. Dak Joyner is a good player. 4-star player, better athlete. So maybe you get somebody that's
got
experience
with a running
quarterback. So maybe
he'll at least push Bentley.
Right. But there's some, I mean, he's listed as a quarterback, but there are some people that think that he will ultimately not be quarterback. South Carolina's committed to give him a try quarterback. That's one of the reasons why he picked South Carolina over Clemson, where Clemson probably wanted him to go somewhere else and play.
If you put Zarek Cooper and Jake Bentley in that Carolina quarterback room from January 1st last year, and they both go through spring ball, you know, maybe Zarek also has a dad on the staff, so you make it easy, make it a little more equal. Who starts? They both get first team reps. They both get a chance to be the guy. They both develop.
They're the same age. What are my choices?
Who starts for South Carolina?
Zarek Cooper and Jake Bentley?
Yeah.
Bentley.
Throughout the year?
Yeah, I think Bentley.
You think Jake Bentley's a better quarterback?
He's a better player than what he's shown. Generally speaking, against South Carolina's schedule, you're not going to look your best against Clemson. Clemson's the best team you play every year.
Who starts, Hunter Johnson or Jake Bentley?
Johnson.
Okay.
Johnson's a better player. I personally think Bentley gets a little bit of a bad rap because we see him up close and personal against the best defense he plays. And that's the one game that we see him. So he looks horrific against Clemson. He didn't look horrific against half the SEC, which is significantly worse than Clemson and most of the other teams they played, which are, you know, a little bit worse than Clemson. Clemson's number one.
Yes.
You know?
I did my best to watch as many Carolina games that I could make myself watch this year. Tennessee was tough. That's one I watched, and to watch him play against Tennessee was really difficult. He did impress me, I think, against NC State. That's one I think Jake Bentley impressed. He had that beautiful long ball. Was it Deebo Samuel who caught that? I don't remember who it was, but it was an incredible throw.
Might have been
Jake
Edwards.
Bentley.
I can't remember. That was so long ago.
He impressed me in that game, but I think overall, again, and I'll stand by it, I don't understand why he's the heir apparent. I don't understand why he literally, and I think it is scarcity. Like, you're exactly right, scarcity. But, like, the fact that he is your future, and there's no question about if he's going to have the job for the next 2 years, however long he stays, that seems like a problem to me.
Let's go back to the phones. One more phone call before we hit our next break. Desmond is up with us next. What's up, Desmond?
Not much. How are you guys doing? But
doing well. Hope you are.
Hello.
Hey, Desmond.
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, good deal. Go ahead.
All right. Okay, I'd like to speak on the Bobby Bentley and possibly become the OC at Carolina. But a lot of people don't realize Bobby Bentley was at a small FCS school, Presbyterian College, a few years ago before he was at Auburn, before he moved back to Spartanburg and became the AD and all that good stuff. So he, offensively there, he struggled. But can you say because of the talent? But you would think a school like that, you might not have much talent, but offensively you would be able to put up better numbers than he did as a head coach there. So me thinking him becoming the OC at at an SEC school like South Carolina and having to play maybe, you know, Alabama every 7 years in Florida and all that good stuff. Like, will he be able to orchestrate an offense to put up points to win games?
It's a fair question, Desmond, and I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. He was at, I remember this being a thing, because he was at Presbyterian College, and around the same time that happened, in fact, when, and I think I remember this well, and I remember being a little bit disappointed. You know, when Bobby Bentley was at Burns, he was a candidate to join Clemson's coaching staff. The position ultimately was given to a guy who was out of coaching, named Dabo Swinney. Dabo Swinney got Bobby Bentley's spot on Clemson's staff.
I did not know that.
And that was when, I think that's right.
Oh,
I think that's correct.
Oh, no.
I'm pretty sure it was around the same time. Clemson, Tommy Bowden had been recruiting Burns a little bit, had a commitment from a young quarterback named Willie Korn, who'd been developed by Bobby Bentley and his staff. Had a bunch of Stanley Hunter came from Burns, and Chad Deal came from Burns, and there were a bunch of guys. Xavier Dye was in the pipeline from Greenwood and then Burns. And then Bobby Bentley went to Presbyterian College, and to be honest with you, it's hard to do anything at Presbyterian. Like, it's hard to win at Presbyterian. So I don't say that's who he is. I just think that's a hard job. That's a hard gig. He wanted to be a head coach. And he's kind of worked his way up through the college ranks with Auburn and then with South Carolina. Now, if he gets this job, I think it would have been well-earned. And especially for a guy like Muschamp that has shown some hesitancy to change, bringing in a guy like Bentley is probably the most... I'll use the word charismatic. It's the most creative. It's the most extraordinary hire that he probably could be expected to make.
Do you have any hesitancy of the father offensive coordinator and the son quarterback?
Yes. The timing will be
interesting.
Because
I have some hesitancy with that.
The timing will be interesting.
But heck, if Jake Bentley literally can't do anything to be benched now, then he can't do anything when his dad's coaching. So I guess he's just going to be the quarterback for... the next 2 years, regardless of anything.
Text on my personal text line says Jeff Scott was his offensive coordinator. Jeff Scott was
at PC?
At PC.
Wow.
He was a head coach at Blythewood High School before he came back to Clemson. True story. This hour of the program, before we'll get back to the phones, our next segment. Players have started to trickle in for interviews. We'll try to grab one or two of those when we get a chance. Also, we're going to visit with Will Vandervoort. We're going to try to visit as well with Manny Robinson today throughout the course of the show. If you're struggling to find the perfect gift for someone who has it all, the holidays are fast approaching, so your number of days to buy for those close to you, for those that you love, is dwindling. So you can order gifts for everyone on your list with a click of a mouse at omahasteaks.com. For only $49.99, you can get my family gift pack. We just told you Kelly's family is taking advantage of that right now. I generally do this as well for a couple people. We'll see who gets it this year. But right now, they're giving exclusive savings just to our listeners. Listen to everything you're going to get for less than $50 when you get omahasteaks.com. Enter my code William in the search bar. You're getting two filet mignons, two top sirloins, two boneless pork chops, four boneless chicken breasts, four kielbasa sausages, four burgers, four potatoes au gratin, four caramel apple tartlets, an Omaha Steaks seasoning packet, and four additional kielbasa sausages absolutely free. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter my code William in the search bar, get 75% savings. It's a gift guaranteed to be a hit with Omaha Steaks at omahasteaks.com. Short break. We'll come back live from Clemson's indoor practice facility in just a moment. You listen Out of Bounds. William Quagg, Ms. Kelly Gramley. We'll go back to the phones. We'll talk a little Clemson, a little South Carolina, a little coaching carousel when we return after this.
Every now and then, Ramona successfully wins Walt's money. It's hard to come by, but she deserves every dollar she gets. In the spirit of the holiday, you'll have a chance to win Walt's tickets. Listen all this week as Walt gives away 3-day passes to this year's Carolina Rebellion, May 4th through 6th at the Rock City Campgrounds at Charlotte Motor Speedway. This year's lineup will be jam-packed with great rock bands for 3 straight days, May 4th through 6th. Win Walt's tickets all week from 105.5 The Roar, WCCP.
Winter is coming, so get your Letterman jackets with us, First Team Sports. Don't let the cold weather sneak up on you. Be prepared this season with a fresh new Letterman jacket. Also, the new USA Little League bats are here and ready to demo. Every Little League and youth player will be required to use the new USA stamped bat starting January 1st, 2018. We have the best selection and best prices guaranteed. Come by First Team Sports today at 2520 Wade Hampton Boulevard in Greenville. We will put you first.
Great Southern Homes has been building beautiful, exceptional, and great value homes in South Carolina for over two decades. Residents in the Midlands and the Lowcountry have come to trust Great Southern Homes as a premier home builder. And now you can too. Great Southern Homes is now building in the entire upstate. At Great Southern Homes, dream homes are standard. If you're looking for the right builder to make your dream home come true, look to Great Southern Homes. You'll be glad you did. Visit us online at greatsouthernhomes.com.
Hi, this is Leah from Local Q, letting you know that our draft selection just got even bigger. With 25 rotating beers on tap, you are sure to find the perfect fit. Come in and try something new while you enjoy a game of Scrabble or Connect Four with a friend. Each month, we feature a different brewery and host tap takeover events. So be sure to check out Untapped or LocalQ.com to keep up with our rotation. Swing through today and see what we have featured this month. Local Q, the place to connect for beer, barbecue, and board games.
The turkey is gone, the holiday decorations are out, but are you still guest ready? Get clean carpets with zero res, three rooms for only $129 with a free hallway when you mention my name, Mickey Plowler. No one can clean like zero res because only zero res cleans with empowered water. No soap, no residue, no harsh chemicals. Call 558-7300 or visit zeroresgreenville.com now to make your appointment. Zero res, spell it backwards or forwards, it's the right way to clean. And don't forget to ask about their air duct cleaning special.
Start the new year in your new 2017 F-150 XLT from George Coleman Ford in Traveler's Rest. It includes chrome package and four-wheel drive. And like all George Coleman Ford deals, no dealer fees. MSRP $47,800. Sale priced at $35,999 after discounts and rebates. Get in on this George Coleman offer. Good through January 2nd. Four generations and over 87 years in business. George Coleman Ford, where trucks cost less in Traveler's Rest.
Must finance with Ford Motor Credit Corporation.
Have you met John from the Butcher's Block in Anderson? John has some exciting news you've been waiting for. Their Meat and Three has had such a fantastic response, they are now offering their full menu, including the Meat and Three, on Sundays from 11 to 3. Food so scrumptious, you'll want to come back again and again. While the Butcher's Block in Anderson is the best place to be for their deli and Meat and Three, they also have awesome pre-prepared meals for those nights you just can't pull it together. Everything you need to feed the family, all ready to go. They've got 10 different tailgate packages to choose from, too. Swing by and pick it up on the way to the stadium, and it's ready to toss on the grill. They have a meal of the week that they post on Facebook with your chance to win it. If you have an event you need catered, they can handle everything. And they're a full-service butcher, too. More food, more choices, and more opportunities to enjoy the Butcher's Block, 1702 North Main Street in Anderson. Or give them a call at 864-359-2099.
Alcohol is legal. For most people 21 and up, getting drunk is legal, and some people think it's fun. But drunk driving is illegal. I'm Brian Ramey, Clemson class of 86. At my law firm, we sue drunk drivers. If you injure one of our clients while driving drunk, we'll sue you, and you won't have any fun. So have fun, but don't drink and drive. Questions? Call 300-00-00. For those of you who've never been to Clemson, 00 means 00.
Office on Highway 153 in Powdersville.
No matter where you're going, you'll see hundreds of convenience stores along your route. What sets Locomart in Clemson apart? Quality gasoline at awesome prices? Yes. Rewards to help you save even more money? Yes. But you'll also find a huge craft beer selection at Locomart that you wouldn't find at a normal convenience store. There's only one stop you need to make. Locomart on Old Greenville Highway and Highway 123. Proudly locally owned and operated. Marathon. Fueling the American spirit.
Treat your lady to a day of complete relaxation and rejuvenation at Lilia Day Spa, Anderson's premier spa. Their therapists are ready to restore her mind, body, and spirit in a relaxing and private environment. She'll love the rejuvenating facial, skin, and nail therapy, and many other services. A gift certificate from Lilia Day Spa is ideal for any occasion and shows her you care. This holiday, treat her to Lilia Day Spa, 116 Benson Street, downtown Anderson. Lilia Day Spa, Anderson's premier spa.
Where shall we begin?
Out of Bounds is on the air.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
105.5 The Roar. Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo!
Woo-hoo!
Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo!
All right, back here Out of Bounds. Hour one continues live from Clemson. And when you're live from Clemson, you run into great Clemson people like Joe Galbraith. Hey, Joe.
How's it going, guys?
Oh, we're doing awesome. You were telling us just moments ago that you guys, we know a little something about early morning arrivals. We've been doing that from the Central Time Zone.
Yes.
You too had an early morning arrival from the Central Time Zone, but you have a concern that we don't have.
It's a concern. It was a circumstance, I guess.
the old parent. Yes. The old parent circumstance.
We arrived back from a site visit to the Sugar Bowl, which was wonderful and great, and really excited to get down to New Orleans after Christmas and spent a couple days there, but got back rather late last night, and this morning was greeted to the early morning wake-up call at the house. And there was no consideration for a late arrival. It was all systems go this morning.
That's right. Joe, let me ask you this, because you've been to these site visits or maybe these, you know, kind of planning situations for the Fiesta Bowl, the Orange Bowl,
sure,
the National Championship. Was there anything different about the Sugar Bowl?
Yes.
What was different?
I will tell you that, and we haven't been to Atlanta yet. We'll go next week for a planning meeting there. But from a logistical setup, New Orleans is so uniquely set up for everything to be within walking distance. Mm. I mean, everything from the team hotel. The only time that team personnel will have to get in a vehicle is to go to practice. And then the rest of the time, from events to dinners to whatever, it's all within a really, really close radius. The media hotel is a block away from the team hotel, so we'll walk over there for press conferences. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it's just really compact area in downtown New Orleans. I mean, the stadium is maybe a mile down the street, but that's about it, and it's really good.
Could you get the feeling that the Sugar Bowl's been going on for a long time?
Yes.
And they know exactly what they're doing,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It'll be planned down to the minute. And, you know, the city of New Orleans does a pretty good job of handling big crowds, mm-hmm, at various times throughout the year and events and all that. And so they'll be ready to roll, and it'll be a fun time for all of our fans. And I know there's a lot of Clemson people headed down there.
Yeah, someone tells me that they just, like, every time there's a big game, they're like, oh, well, that's next week. And then, you know, yep, just a typical week, they're just hosting a huge event in the Superdome.
We walked out of dinner Monday night and hopped in a little bus to take us back to the hotel, and had to stop because there was a quick parade. Because, you know, why not? It was a Monday night in December, and there was some kind of parade. Shut the street down for about 15 minutes as people made their way walking and dancing.
Your
and having
weekly
a big
Monday
time.
Parade.
Like, yeah, sure. Seems about right.
17-minute rendition of When the Saints Come Marching In, right?
Sure.
Every TV show I've ever seen based in New Orleans, they play that
there's
song.
There's a band marching.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Got to. I'm visiting with Joe Galbraith. He is what I'm going to call the communications czar.
I'm not holding you up from a student athlete.
There we go.
Yeah, there you go.
Joe's
I'm
the
done.
Opener.
That's
the
it.
Opener.
That's what I'm
great insight,
about.
Joe.
Placeholder.
Good stuff.
Thank you very much.
I love it. Kendall Joseph is going to join us here in moments. Joe Galbraith, thanks so much. Get some rest, my friend.
From one Joseph to
great.
Another.
Right, right. I like that. Kendall Joseph Galbraith. Love it. Wheel of Fortune, sign me up.
They do look related a little bit.
A little bit. More from the beard department.
Yeah.
Joe's getting there. Oh, yeah. More 2 a.m. arrivals, and we'll be a little closer than to that. What's up, Kendall? You
doing
all right, man?
Yeah, I'm doing good.
Man, I'm great. You just held court with the media, and I just want to, because generally we don't have any idea what's going on there. Mm. We have no idea. What was the general tenor of the questions? Like, what are people asking you right now?
Just really how we feel about playing Alabama, how we feel about being the underdog right now and them being the favorite, and just that overall experience right now with the team and where we're at and going down to New Orleans and playing in that huge game. So that's really just the overall gist of the questions right now.
So how do you feel about playing Alabama third straight time?
I feel awesome about it. We envisioned playing them all year kind of in the national championship for a three-peat, like this big time story, but now we got them a little earlier than we expected. But for us, we're excited to play them. We're not shocked that they're the favorite. This is usually how things work around here, but we're definitely excited for the challenge and ready to just go play good Clemson football.
Kendall, when you guys were setting up for the pizza party over there in the facility and getting ready for the unveiling of the top four, you don't have to tell me who you thought should be in, but who did you think the committee was going to put as that fourth team?
Bama.
You thought Bama?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Just their overall pool. It's just Bama. I just kind of had that feeling where they college football playoff, they want Bama in there, regardless of what happened this season. And I mean, just that one loss, it kind of, I just felt like Ohio State having two losses, they could find a way to squeeze Bama in there, and you know, they did, and I really wasn't shocked.
Yeah. You guys dominated Miami. They barely got 200 yards. You guys are plus two in a turnover margin. Just a complete evisceration of what they are and what they stand for. Was that the goal? Like, you guys have been a leave no doubt team this year. Was that kind of the goal to do that?
Definitely. We wanted that game. We've been past Duke for just kind of really just blowing somebody out the water and leaving no doubt. And man, we executed on all cylinders Saturday night and played great football, offense, defense, special teams, and it just clicked, man. We were just having fun, making plays, and, you know, the overall score, the outcome.
I don't know why teams do this, but it's always funny to me how, like, teams that are less talented or less capable will try to act like they're not. Mm-hmm. Miami met some of you guys coming out of the tunnel in pregame. Was that a topic of conversation among you, that they were kind of looking for a fight, or was it? Because people were talking about they were emotional, you guys on a business trip. Do you just put that stuff out, or do you take note of those things?
You definitely take note. For us, it was like, oh, okay, all right. Like, I mean, it just got us going even more, and it was cool to see. We like that stuff. We don't shy away from it. But we never let it kind of, like, control us or, you know, really affect our emotions. We don't let teams affect how we think and our emotions. But overall, like, we seen them, and it was good to see. We enjoyed it, seeing them out there like that. So it just made us more ready.
I don't think people give you guys credit enough for, I mean, you guys notice a lot of things. You aren't on social media in terms of posting, but you see things and you know what's going on in the world of college football. Someone might have asked you this last week, Kendall, so forgive me if that was the case, but what were your overall thoughts on this whole kind of turnover chain gimmick, if you will, and then how do you think that mindset kind of helped you guys in terms of the game last Saturday?
Well, my overall feelings, I thought it was a good idea. You know, just to have an incentive, have guys trying to focus on getting that ball away. And I mean, I guess it worked. They were like plus 16 in turnover margin, so something's clicking. And I mean, I think if we had thought of it, it would be a great idea for Clemson to be doing it. I just think Miami thought of it, and I don't really understand the negative things about it. You know, anytime you can get a defensive player, they got a goal, and it's like, yeah, we did it. It's all good. But we definitely kind of flipped it around, like, mentally wise. We was like, oh, the turnover chain, all this, all that. We'll show them about that. So that's kind of how we flipped it. But overall, I thought it was a good idea for the defense, and I thought it was just a good incentive to, you know, have guys focusing on getting that ball, because, you know, that helps win ball games.
Whose idea was it to cut the turnover chain in half in the locker room?
Head man.
So I Dabo, like it. So Dabo was the one that was kind of like, hey, the turnover chain.
I'm like, can I answer that? But nah, yeah, he came up with it. We didn't think he was going to come through with it. We was like, oh, he's getting a little dangerous out here, but yeah, he came through with it.
How do you get through security with those?
Dabo.
Like, how do you sneak those things into the stadium?
Two
That's
words.
What I'm trying to
Dabo Sweeney. He can get what he wants into the stadium,
he got
okay?
The power. He got the power.
One or two more for you, Kendall, as we approach the top of the hour. You got about a minute and a half left. I mean, this period where you're just kind of waiting, you're sitting around. You've had to play Alabama with a week to prepare in the past. Now you get a month to rest up and prepare for them. How is that challenge different than what you've done in the past?
I don't know if it's, I don't know. I think for, like, preparation standpoint with practice and all that kind of stuff, it's we're going to definitely be able to tell. It's going to be a physical bowl practice, and I don't think the coaches will overdo it, but I think we're going to have that mentality where, man, we're banging and Paul Drill mentality in practice. But for us, man, the more time, the better, especially on defense, just to pick up on more tendencies and formation recognition and things like that. So for us, just to have that chance to kind of get our legs back under us for a while and then be able to really focus and, you know, just be able to play sharp against them, I think all this extra time will help us with that.
Last one for you, Kendall. We have about 30 seconds. Main difference between Bama last year and Bama this year offensively?
I don't know.
He's in deep thought, folks.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
You still have some film to break down, I know.
Yeah, I do. But I think the running game isn't as dominant as it was last year for whatever reason. They're doing a lot of the same things offensively. And whenever you can get that running game going with Jalen Hurts, that's the most similar thing, mm-hmm. probably. But the most different is just that running game hasn't been as dominant as it was last year, and Jalen Hurts doesn't have quite as many yards running on the ground. So for us, that's a plus, and we'll definitely key in on it. Mm-hmm.
Kendall Joseph, ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Hey, rest up, and best of luck in New Orleans. We'll be back. Hour one is done. Hour two, more from Clemson, the indoor practice facility, when Out of Bounds returns next. Broadcasting from